Hello and welcome to the Personal Development School podcast. I'm your host, Thais Gibson, and I create regular podcast episodes to teach you about your relationships, attachment style, and the subconscious mind. My goal of this podcast is to give you tools and awareness you need to thrive in your relationships, feel deeply connected, and find harmony and fulfillment in your relationships and personal life. So I hope you tune in here with me each and every week. Have you often found yourself entangled in the confusing web of the dismissive avoidant attachment style's relationship behavior and found yourself wondering, can they truly come back after the silence of no contact? Well, if this is something you're curious about, stay tuned. And in this video, I'm going to tell you all about exactly what to expect. First and foremost, it's really important to recognize what's going on with the dismissive avoidant in their internal world to gain insight as to why no contact tends to work so well. And the first thing is that dismissive avoidants tend to be in their feelings minus their fears, right? So what happens a lot of the time is early in the dating stage, if there's a lot of feelings and attraction and stuff going on, and if the DA tends to have their guard quite lowered, which tends to especially be the case when somebody seems non-committal, when they seem like they're not pressuring, when they say that they're not really looking for something long-term right away, or when there's like long distance in a relationship, all those things help the DA feel kind of like they can be more of themselves. And part of what's actually going on is it doesn't mean they're not like that interested in somebody the vast majority of the time. I mean, it can be that, of course, but the vast majority of the time, dismissive avoidants have a lot of stored fears. Their childhood relationship to their caregivers generally comes from one of childhood emotional neglect. So once there was a bond to their attachment figure in childhood, which first of all tends to happen between the ages of 0 and 2 years old, usually what was happening is that their needs were unmet, whether it was their emotional needs, just being present from their caregivers, being attuned to, feeling like they were safe in their caregiver's presence and experience. A lot of these things weren't met. And so, and this of course continues out throughout childhood. We have neuroplasticity, so that attachment cell can also develop a little bit later on in childhood. Change a little bit later on. It's already developed between 0 and 2 and then can sort of change accordingly to what your childhood experiences are, what your household is like. Did your parents separate, get remarried, any of that kind of stuff? But anyways, what we often see is those stored associations, that stored set of programs about what attachment is, what closeness is in relationships, is that it's really painful and your needs don't get met. And it just feels disappointing in the end. It feels sad. It feels like you're neglected. So you're out for yourself and that's how you survive. And so commitment poses a threat to all of that, right? Commitment says, no, you're not out for yourself. You have to give to somebody else and you have to re-expose yourself to all those horrible, terrible fears. And so it's really like consciously, the DA doesn't know that, but subconsciously, this is often what's going on. So when there's this closeness and when more commitment happens, when more pressure moving towards commitment happens, when there's anything that seems to infringe on the DA's sense of self and independence, which is what gave them a feeling of safety in childhood, right? Like, fine, I'll just distance myself from this relationship to my caregiver and my expectations of what could happen. And then I'll just really focus on myself. And at least that brings me relief. So it feels like a person's coping mechanisms are being taken away, right? Which is why, you know, the more there's commitment, the more there's vulnerability required, the more there's demand for openness, long-term relationships, pressure to open up, all these things. That's why we start getting the DA who pulls away, who backtracks, who tries to create that space or even stonewalls. So then we go to no contact. Well, how does that affect no contact? Well, because when no contact happens in relationships, when something hasn't worked, the DA has all of that stuff that was pushing on their fears melt away almost immediately, right? And the longer no contact extends, the more the fears now diminish because there's no reason for them, right? There's nothing triggering or catalyzing them to come up. So now their feelings are back there again, right? So if we have the feelings minus the fears and the fears come on high and they overcome the feelings, right? Now we have the DA pushing away. Once there's distance, the fears go back down and now they just feel their feelings, right? Their attraction, their interest, these sorts of things. Now, sometimes DAs will be like, oh, it's too late, or I don't want to go back to the commitment. So they may kind of pop back up after no contact and still be non-committal or not want to take the next steps or make an effort. But a lot of times those feelings are really online and they're feeling that again. So this is, you know, what's important to note first. Now, What do you do if you're in this situation? And by the way, and how long does it usually take for the GA to get into that space? Well, it depends on the context of the relationship, the length of the relationship. Like if it was a 3-week relationship versus a 3-year relationship and you live together, obviously there's going to be differences. But as a general rule, we see that the GA, when they go through a disconnect, sort of feel like, okay, I have a relief from my fears, and they sort of feel better or a little bit of relief at first from those fears that were really plaguing them and showing up for them. And the thing that's really important to note, right, is that relationships will continue to push on those fears. The solving of the problem is not to avoid relationships, but to reprogram the fears, right? And so I'm sure you guys know from watching this channel and the different sort of attachment style dynamics and what's important to pay attention to, and how reprogramming is what heals us and helps us become secure. Like you're not born with your attachment style, it develops through programming, and we can use those same principles to reprogram. But the DA doesn't know that, right? They don't know, like they just feel their feelings and that feels like their truth, right? Their reality. And it is their truth. It's letting them know what scares them, but not because of the external person and situation, but because of their internal stored associations and programs from past experiences that person is bringing up, catalyzing, right? So our emotions are always giving us perfect feedback, but not always about the things that we think.
Unlock your potential with over 65 on-demand courses with easy-to-master reprogramming concepts and free online events, weekly webinars, and Q&As. All of this and more included in an all-access pass to the Personal Development School. Sign up and get 50% off and gain cutting-edge tools and strategies for just $149 quarterly. Don't miss out. This offer ends soon.
So anyways, how long until the DA starts to feel their feelings more than their fears? Well, usually they start to feel their feelings more than their fears around the 4-week mark at earliest, usually closer to the 6-week mark, but it can really go all the way out to 3 months. And that time period is going to be largely correlated with how much their feelings were showing up at the surface and for how long, right? If they were starting to associate the whole relationship with their fears for 8 months and then finally decided to leave the relationship versus for the past 2 weeks and then there was an abrupt exit, right? So you know, you're going to see like, and how big were those commitment fears? Was it just about being vulnerable, or was it about that you are about to buy a house together, right? So you'll see this like sort of general space where they kind of like numb out of their fears, or the fears sort of like die down because they're not being poked and catalyzed, and now they're like aware of their feelings again. So if you're in this situation, it's super important that, you know, you don't use this information to like manipulate somebody, go no contact just to get them to come back and then try to start again. Like you're going to have to, you can use this information to do what's right for the relationship, to understand and respect that this person's going through their stuff. But in that space that you have there, you want to be checking in with your feelings, your needs, your boundaries, you doing the healing work, you showing up, and then you proceeding to honor those boundaries, to honor those needs. And if the person does come back and you keep that space and you keep that boundary as an option or an opportunity, I guess, for your own healing and growth, that's powerful. That's healthy. That's you healing and showing up for you. And then if the person does come back, there has to be a conversation where you say like, look, here's what I think is going on. Here's what I suggest we do. Like we can't go, if we're going to maybe reconnect and the needle starts to move and the momentum builds. I mean, I can do a separate video if you guys want, let me know in the comments below about like what to do in these situations, right? Like what to do when this person sort of reemerges and how to know if they're ready and how to approach the relationship question again. Do you want to get back together? And if so, when do you do that? And, you know, cause there's lots in there that we can discuss, but as a general rule, what happens is there has to be a discussion. Usually you're going to have to let the momentum build a little bit first and have a discussion about what takes place next. How can we not repeat these same patterns? If we're going to think about reconnecting, what were our problems? What were our pain points? What were our fears? What are our boundaries going forward? So we just don't get back into a relationship and then repeat the same dynamic all over again. So there has to be some really conscious discussion about that. And that's going to be a really important part of reparation.